Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 1025-1063, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, will join us in 1 hour. We'll get his thoughts, what he saw from Will Levis and the Tennessee Titans on Thursday night, what to look ahead to this weekend on Sunday at Tampa Bay. Predators also in action tonight in Calgary. Puck drop at 8 o'clock. Willie Donick joins us from Calgary, the birthplace of Terry Crisp. Willie, how we doing?
Well, it's actually not the birthplace of Terry Crisp, but he is famous for being the only coach that has ever lifted the cup for the Calgary Flames.
The residency of Terry Crisp.
So he has a statue there. That's what you're saying.
Well, he is an honorary mayor, I think, forever for Calgary. When you get the cup, I think you're good in this town for as long as you live. That's for sure.
Every time you go, drinks are on the house.
I think he's had a few of those over the years. No question about it.
D-Mace is here as well. D-Mace, how we doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. You know, just another day in paradise as we sit here and go back and forth with our, in-state sports. So
that's what we love.
Let's get it started.
Let's get it popping, because we will hear from Tim Hasselbeck in 1 hour, mm-hmm. but we'll also hear from Mike Vrabel 2 hours from now. He will take the podium at 1 o'clock and address questions from the media. We will carry that live and in its entirety. Kind of a funky media schedule this week. Normally we hear from Mike Vrabel on Mondays and Wednesdays with the game on Thursday night. We heard from him on Friday, so we'll hear from him today and I believe tomorrow as well. Maybe it's just players tomorrow. We hear from two mystery players today after Mike Vrabel takes the podium. Could be Ryan Tannehill and Will Levis. Could be neither. If I have to lean one way or another, I'm going to say neither.
Yeah, I would say neither either.
But do you think we're going to get any insight on the quarterback position and who is going to start on Sunday from Vrabel at the podium in 2 hours?
I have, with Vrabel, I have no idea, honestly. Because, listen, if you don't make a decision until you have to make a decision. And right now, it's Tuesday, and he doesn't have to make a decision. So if we hear something about who's going to quarterback this Tennessee Titan team moving forward, then we will hear it today. Either way. If not, then we will hear it or see it come Sunday. Either way, we will know who the quarterback is before they strap it up and go against Tampa. But I don't understand sort of this secretiveness with him in the quarterbacks. Tell me if you agree with that, Willie, because my thing is the young man has played well the past two games. He's looked like the future. Now, I get it, things can change, but he showed, again, I go back to not the arm strength, the poise, the leadership he has shown on the field. When he's got knocked down, he's gotten right back up. If he was the first pick in the NFL draft, the second pick in the NFL draft, the third or the fourth or the fifth, there would be no questions on who's the quarterback moving forward. Vrabel would have already said it, but because he wasn't, he can sort of hold on to this. Well, I don't know when we'll make a decision when Tannehill is healthy. Newsflash, Tannehill is not going to be healthy none this season moving forward. He's not. He's always going to be around 85-90%. He's not going to be fully healthy. So I don't know why he's doing this, but he has his reasons. It's his team. And hopefully the decision he makes will be the betterment for this franchise moving forward.
I gave you my theory on Friday. I'm going to stick to it. I do think he's going to be very respectful mm-hmm. on how he hands the reins over to Will Levis, because I think it's pretty obvious to everybody that it's time to give the kid a shot. Where the franchise is right now, and it may be obvious to everybody but Ryan Tannehill. Maybe Ryan Tannehill is such a competitor. He probably knows as a pro that this is how it is, but the competitor in him probably thinks he can still play. But I think you hit on the key issue, D-Mace. The first thing I want to know is he anywhere close to being healthy? Because we watched him last year on that ankle when he hurt it initially. He battled through it, and they had no other option. He battled through it, but he was not himself. And I give him a lot of credit for staying out there and knowing that he gave his team the best chance of winning. That probably is not the case right now, and it may not be for several weeks. And by the time he does get healthy, you would hope as a franchise that Will Levis has an even stronger hold on the job. So the first thing we have to see is, can he even practice? But if he's able to practice, I would fully expect that Will Levis gets the starter's reps.
And that's what I would think, too, because it feels obvious. Mm-hmm. And it should be obvious who the starter will be on Sunday, not just on Sunday, but moving forward. That you throw in the young guy. He looks the way that he looked, and not even just the 4-touchdown performance, but against the Steelers as well. And look, I know that performance against the Steelers wasn't as flashy or sexy as a 4-touchdown performance against the Atlanta Falcons. I know that Will Levis wasn't perfect against the Pittsburgh Steelers, but we didn't expect him to be certain. We didn't expect him to be perfect. Nor did we really need Will Levis to look perfect to feel like he was the guy moving forward. We just needed to see the same kind of poise that we saw against the Atlanta Falcons. We needed Will Levis to show progression. We needed Will Levis to show confidence against a really tough Pittsburgh defensive front. And we saw that. And I think the biggest thing for me, the two biggest things for me about Will Levis against the Steelers, one was he kept getting smacked in the mouth and he continued to get back up and continued to make plays. And the second thing, where there were enough plays that Will Levis made that I didn't think Ryan Tannehill could make. Throws that Will Levis attempted that I don't think Ryan Tannehill ever would have thought of. In particular, the one where he hit Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. It was a 25-ish yard pass where he stepped up to avoid the sack and then made the beautiful completion to Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. That's a throw that I don't think Ryan Tannehill makes. So it feels obvious, right? Mm-hmm. It should be obvious.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I feel like Mike Vrabel's not going to make it as obvious as we all feel that it's going to be.
Well, I think he's going to – maybe he's going with the sort of the old school coach of keeping the opponent guessing a little bit if he's got the opportunity to do that. But I think the big thing to do, and I fully expect Mike Vrabel to do this, when he makes that announcement, that Will Levis is the starter. And I think it's a win. I think he's going to want to do it with class, right? He wants to do it to show respect to what Ryan Tannehill has done and what Ryan Tannehill has done for Mike Vrabel. Where would this franchise be if they didn't pull the rabbit out of the hat and steal Ryan Tannehill for nothing in a trade that did not make NFL headlines in the least? I remember where I was when they made that trade. I was like, oh, nice. They found a backup. Oh, interesting. Insurance policy. But I never thought in my wildest dreams that he would do what he did as a starter. So I think you got to be cognizant of that when you, and it can't just be a flippant thing. Oh yes, by the way, Will Levis is a starter. I think you want to try to do it with class. And I think Mike Vrabel will put some thought into that on how he does it.
Well, let's hope that is the reason why he is choosing to sort of prolong this decision, that you want to give everyone enough time to, you know, think about this, evaluate it, and process it moving forward. You know, hear from the owner, obviously hear from the GM, head coach has to say what he needs to say, but then relay all of that to Ryan Tannehill with the level of respect that I think he deserves. I think, you know, when you play this game for the period of time that Ryan has played, any player, you deserve a level of respect from the franchise, whether they let you go, you know, choose not to sign you, cut you, whatever, or, you know, having to, you know, demote you in a sense from being a starter to a backup. You're owed a level of respect because you went out there and you laid it on the line. You did all the things that they've asked you to do. You worked your ass off in offseason. And you've gotten knocked around so much that it has caused you to miss games. I'm talking about Ryan Tannehill. So you do, I believe you do owe him, like literally, you owe him that level of respect. But you could have did that and still name Will Levis the quarterback already. I think the
minute, could have, yep.
Yeah, I think the minute he got hurt, Ryan Tannehill, and he saw that young man go in. He leapfrogged Malik Willis to be the starter. That should have told Ryan Tannehill, my days are over. If this kid goes out here and he plays okay, my days are over. I'm a veteran guy, expiring contract. I respect the game. I understand this is how I got the job here because one guy wasn't doing well. But now I lose my job because, one, I wasn't doing great, but then, two, I got hurt. Now this young guy comes in. He looks good. So in my mind, you hate it as a veteran guy, but it's like, man, I chalk it up to the game. It is what it is. You know, the game giveth and the game taketh, you know. And right now, the game has taken away his starting spot because that young man has played well.
And I'm with you, Willie, that this is a situation that's difficult probably for this coaching staff, not in the decision, because I don't think the decision should be difficult. I think the decision is actually, quite frankly, very obvious, but the process and the way that you do it. And I mean, all respect in the world to Ryan Tannehill, because I heard some callers and texters in the morning show and with the Chase and Big Joe show basically poo-pooing on Ryan Tannehill. And look, I get it. The new shiny toy is in town. Your young guy has taken the reins. Your guy of the future, or at least the guy that you believe is your quarterback of the future, is now under center. And now, you know, the old toys, we're going to throw it into the junk pile. Then we're on to the newer and fresher and better. But let's give Ryan Tannehill the respect that he deserves. I mean, my goodness. And I know that that playoff game against Cincinnati is going to be a massive stain on his career in the way that this city and probably the league as a whole, the way that he is remembered, will always be, unfortunately, with the, you know, what's the word I'm looking for here? Is just kind of with the splotch on the resume of the playoff game.
Right. Yeah.
Fair or not, that is, but, it is,
but,
what it is.
Yeah, but
yeah, everybody will remember that. I'm hoping too, though, as we get more removed and you look at the whole arc of time, right? I hope they will remember that it was kind of a crossroads of the franchise. They were coming to grips with Marcus Mariota is not going to be a franchise quarterback. Where do we go from here?
Mm-hmm.
And he gave them a pretty good number of exciting Sundays and you know, some playoff wins, not directly because of him, but when you orchestrate, you know, some success like that, a couple division titles, I hope people remember those days and don't just remember the one thing. It's like, you know, the extreme case of a guy like Bill Buckner, right? Bill Buckner had almost 3,000 hits. I mean, he was unbelievable. He won batting titles, but only remembered for one thing. That's kind of what's, you know, wrong, I think, about legacies and things like that. But I hope they look at the full package. That, like, I asked the question, what do you guys think? Where would they have gone had they not have had him to sort of rescue them from the end of the Mariota era? What would they have done? In theory, they could be still searching for the guy.
Yeah, they could. Right? They could have gotten him already.
Looking for the guy for 30 years.
They could have gotten him already. I mean,
because
their record would have been not that good. But
they probably would have taken a stab at it once or twice by now.
Yeah, but I mean, I think you're right. Unfortunately, here in Nashville, I think he will be remembered more so for what he didn't do rather than what he did do in regards to this franchise and helping rise this franchise up, because everybody will go back, well, it was Derrick Henry. Yeah, it was, for the most part. But Ryan had games, you know, that one season he was a damn MVP candidate for a while, you know. So he had a hell of a season, but people are not going to remember that season. Why? Because he lost in the second round to the Baltimore Ravens. And then he ends up doubling down the next following year and lose to the Cincinnati Bengals while throwing three interceptions. That's what people are going to remember. And unfortunately, it's unfortunate that will be the case with Ryan Tannehill. Yeah, they will say he did some really good things, but I think majority of the people will look at it as, we had a great prime opportunity to go represent the AFC in the Super Bowl, because the road to the Super Bowl had to go to Nashville. It only happened one other time. And what happened in both times? The Titans lost, you know. So, unfortunately, he's going to be, I think, remembered because they haven't gotten back to that point. He will be remembered for that than for what he did in rescuing this franchise for possibly falling off the map for a few years.
I think it's safe to say Ryan Tannehill is a top three quarterback in the history of this franchise.
Oh, absolutely.
Top two?
No, not top two. Nah, because you got Warren Moon, you got Steve McNair.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, if you don't call Warren Moon.
Just the Titans. The
Titans, yes. I will put him over Vince Young because Vince Young wasn't sustainable. Mm-hmm. Even though he had immense talent, it wasn't sustainable. So Marcus had a year. That was it. But I think because of where the Titans were at that particular moment, Ryan came in and did a hell of a job. Mm-hmm. At help lifting this organization back up to respectability.
Where does Kerry Collins sit on that list for you?
I don't know because I didn't follow Kerry Collins. I was playing at the time Kerry was playing. All I know is that we beat Kerry Collins. That's it.
So. Kerry Collins was another guy that sort of.
And Kerry was great. I mean,
he bailed them out. Yeah. Bailed them out when Vince Young faltered, mm-hmm. right, and gave them a lifeline. For one great season. You know, he got them the number one seed. But Ryan Tannehill had, five seasons of, I guess, what is this? Would this be his fifth year?
Yeah, this would be 25th.
1920, 1, 2, 3. This is his fifth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's a lot longer than Kerry Collins. So mm-hmm. I think the other comparable might be Dan Pastorini, if you're going to include the Oilers mm-hmm. in the franchise. Now, we're not going way back to the AFL, the 1960s, right? They had some great years in the very, very beginning. I'm not going back that far, but in the modern, I guess what we would consider the modern era, it's Moon, it's definitely McNair, and then you've got a pretty good batch of next guys, and I think Tannehill has got a good argument at number three, probably Pastorini in there. Pastorini got them to two AFC championship games. They could never get past the Steel Curtain. I think there's some comparables there because what do you remember about that team? You remember Earl Campbell, mm-hmm. right? It's not as much Pastorini. Just like you remember about this era, it's much more Derrick Henry than it is Ryan Tannehill. But Tannehill was there, right?
But steady. I would dare to say, Willie, because now Warren Moon's a Hall of Famer. Great quarterback. Mm-hmm. Great. He had a long his resume is long, what he was able to do at the University of Washington, going over to the Canadian League, coming back to the NFL, won championships over there. So, you know, when you speak of Warren Moon, I mean, you speak of him in high regards. But Warren never took his team to a Super Bowl. Took this team, like the Titans Oilers, to a Super Bowl. Didn't win the MVP.
Never even to the AFC Championship.
Didn't win the MVP. So to me, it's Max slightly. That's just me.
It's a legit argument.
Max slightly over Warren, and then you can throw Ryan Tannehill in there.
And I think that's fair.
That's fair because the team success, no doubt about it. And McNair had enough longevity because I think the thing that is the calling card for Moon, who's a Hall of Famer.
Exactly,
right?
Absolutely.
And the numbers year in and year out, you know, the bulk of it was with the Oilers there. Those run and shoot numbers look pretty gaudy there. But you're right, he never got to even the Final Four. Mm-hmm. And so McNair had a Super Bowl and another AFC title game with the Titans.
I think it's safe to say Ryan Tannehill will go up there.
Yeah.
One of the best quarterbacks in this franchise's Absolutely. History. And, of course, anytime you get four full seasons, and I'm counting half of a season of 19 and a little bit less than a half of 2023, whenever you get four pretty complete seasons of starting caliber quarterback play from a guy that you traded for a fourth-round pick, like you'll take that any day of the week.
Of course.
But so I think we can establish Ryan Tannehill is up there in the quarterback rankings of this franchise. But what about in terms of this decision that Mike Vrabel is going to make? Although it seems like an easy decision, although it feels inevitable that Will Levis is the guy moving forward, where does this rank in importance of decisions that Mike Vrabel has made or will make as the head coach of the Tennessee Titans, of choosing the quarterback moving forward, of this decision that he's going to make? We can continue to get back
because
into
it. This is going to be a long, I'm sure it will be a lengthy answer from the three of us. because there's so much, you know, there's so many moves that have been made when it comes to the Tennessee Titans. And, you know, moving away from Mariota when they did to put Ryan Tannehill, that probably essentially, you know, saved the franchise at least for the, you know, for that period of time. You know, making, you know, going away from one running back and then finally committing to Derrick Henry. You know, so that was a big one, a big decision. The A.J. Brown, that's a huge decision. So there's been some decisions within this organization since Vrabel has taken over that have been, you know, really organizational shifters.
Yeah.
In a sense. So, you know, I would like to get more into it on the other side. So, but I would like to hear, you know, Willie's and your answer as well, Caroline.
Your thoughts on that,
yeah,
Willie?
Oh, okay. Well, are we? I thought we were doing it after the break. I think this is pretty. This is the way it's unfolded. I think we all want to remember. We asked the question. We went through it yesterday, but before the season, will Levis get a start? Right. At the time, you didn't know how it was going to unfold, and it was tricky for a while. But I actually think, in a nutshell, the way it's unfolded, this is a pretty easy decision. Don't you? Where they are, where Levis is, what he's shown. I think this is a no-brainer.
I would agree.
It's a big decision, but it's an easy decision.
And isn't that nice? Wouldn't it be great if every big decision was as easy as this quarterback position feels?
I remember talking about this a lot when Mariota was kind of at the crossroads going into that last year where they traded for Tannehill. And I kept thinking, you know what? It'll be easy to extend his contract if he has a big year. And it'll be easy to part ways with him if he's – you know, if he crashes and burns. But the hard decision is if he's right in the middle. And that's kind of what he was, right? He'd have a couple good games. You're like, hey, Marcus is getting it. That looked pretty good. And then, there's a game where it just doesn't happen. Or, he just twisted his ankle and he's playing hobbled, or he can't play. Or, you know, he can't play in that last game against the Colts. So it was just two steps forward, one step back. He's pretty good, but do we really want to commit? And so that was the tough part about the Mariota thing. And then, you know, they just pulled the rug out, or ripped the Band-Aid off, I should say. And they went with Tannehill, and magically he gave them a huge, huge lift, which I thought was a little bit unexpected at the time. I don't think anybody realized how good he was going to be. But this one, I think the way it's unfolded is pretty easy for a coach. It's time to just make the move. It's obvious.
We'll continue the conversation coming up next. And, yeah, Will, you're right. It's obvious. This is Will Levis's job now. Don't make it too difficult. Don't overcomplicate it. That is the obvious answer. But we'll continue the conversation coming up next. Plus, I think there's four different scenarios of what we could hear from Mike Vrabel at his press conference coming up at 1 o'clock. And we'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
When you make that decision, Mike, is it purely on who, assuming Ryan's healthy, is it purely on who's playing better right now, or do you take into account things like Ryan's track record or Will's potential, things like that as well?
Yeah, I think with any position, you look for, you know, who gives you the best opportunity to win and where you're at and what's, you know, best for the football team. So, you know, we'll have those conversations over the weekend. We'll see where Ryan's health is. We'll see where, you know, some different guys are as health. But, you know, we're always just trying to figure out, you know, what gives us the best chance to win, what we can do to win a football game, especially one next week that's on the road.
All right, there you go. That was Mike Vrabel after the Steelers game. Still not willing to name Will Levis the starter, but like we said, Mike Vrabel's not going to make up his mind and is not going to make a decision any sooner, any earlier, and especially not publicly, if he doesn't have to. Now, the Titans' unofficial depth chart has been released, and Ryan Tannehill is listed as QB1. Do we look too far into that? Because I don't really know if I can put too much into that, into an unofficial depth chart.
Well, I mean, so the Titans put out their depth chart today.
Unofficial.
Unofficial. And it named Ryan Tannehill as QB number one. For one, this makes no damn sense. I'm not saying that Ryan Tannehill is QB one. It makes no damn sense to put out an unofficial, you know, depth chart.
I think they
essentially
have to, like, per league rules.
I mean, even per league, it's just okay. So I'm trying to understand this. I really am, and maybe, you know, Vrabel don't care. You know, it's like I'll just throw out a depth chart just to appease the NFL. And hell, I should have put Malik Willis at the top. That's something that that I believe Mike Vrabel would do.
Put Joe Retro in QB1 for all
we care. I think that's something that he would do. But in doing that, don't you potentially, you know, feel it causes you to have to field more questions on, okay, well, if he says, he comes out and said, Will Levis is the starter. Then people would look, well, why did you put out that unofficial
You know
depth
what his
chart?
Response would be? I don't look too much into depth chart. It's just a formality. I don't care about depth
They
charts.
Put it out there. I didn't really
Cincinnati.
Get a chance to look at it. So I just, you know, they put it out before. But it doesn't fly, I guess, you know. But again, he does things his way, and you respect that and whatnot. But if you come back and say, well, Will Levis is our starter, then again, people are going to say, well, why did that depth chart come out there? Did you just throw that out there because you had to per league?
Yes.
You know, or did you at the time really mean that? But, you know, it is what it is. I'm not going to look too much into that because, to me, I just feel like once you get on that horse and start riding, and that horse is riding great, there's no need to turn back around, go in a stall, and get the next horse or get the previous horse. You ride with the horse, you know, it's doing well, it's young. You go with it. You don't come back to the barn and get the old horse that's injured a little bit and start trying to take him up the mountain.
What, are you going to take him out back?
I don't want you to do that either. But, you know, it's just one of these deals where, to me, getting back to the central question that you asked before we went to break, I think this is, thus far in his tenure, he's made a lot of decisions, some good, some not so good. But this is the biggest one because it deals with your quarterback and your future moving forward. You did it once with Ryan Tannehill. I think it was a little bit easier to do it then. But now you have to do it again as the head coach. And you got to get it right. You know, you have to. So to me, this is the biggest decision that he has had to make since he's been the head coach of the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, it's a big decision because you have to find out if he can play. And the first impression is excellent. And that doesn't mean that he's arrived. There's probably going to be some growing pains. But I think what we all hope we're going to see, I think he's even exceeded that, right? I was hoping for some flashes, but he's been even more than that. I've been wowed. And that doesn't mean that he couldn't turn around and have a rough patch here. But I think at this point, it's time to find out what you've got, even if it means, you know, that the team doesn't have huge success this year. We just talked about it a lot yesterday with the way that the AFC South is going, with the nature of the AFC. Look, like the Bengals are getting it together now, right? They were vulnerable early, and they didn't get buried, and now they look like the team that we thought they were going to be. They're going to be a contender. It's a deep AFC right now. And this Titans team is still a middling team. And they have to see if they have a quarterback that not only can help them now, but also is the big picture guy. So it's an easy decision, but it's big. And now the mindset has to be, how do we support him?
Based off of what we saw from the Bengals against the Bills on Sunday, I am very pleased when the Titans got the Bengals on their schedule. But I think that there are four possible scenarios of what we could hear from Mike Vrabel in regards to the quarterback position today. First is Ryan Tannehill still hurt, which I think is probably likely. I think that's a realistic scenario. Like, you're only 2 weeks removed from Baltimore. A high ankle sprain, especially a sprain that you had last season that you had to get surgery on. And I know Ryan Tannehill said that it makes your ankle stronger and it makes recovery easier if you re-injure it. I don't know if that's true or not. I'm not a doctor. But we're 2 weeks removed, so if Ryan still isn't good enough to go, we might hear that from Vrabel today. We might. The second scenario is we'll hear from Mike Vrabel that we're still going to evaluate the quarterbacks throughout the week. We're not willing to name a starter quite yet, which I think, knowing Vrabel and listening to as many Vrabel press conferences as we have through the years, that's also pretty likely that if Mike Vrabel doesn't have to name a starter, he is not going to. But I'm going to hold out hope. I'm going to hold out hope that he gives us at least some juicy tidbits. But there are two.
I think the pressing thing would be, do we know if Ryan Tannehill is physically going to practice this week? That's the first thing.
Right, and if he's good to go this week or not. I think that is one thing that we could hear from Mike Vrabel today. And look, if he's not out there practicing all this week, we're gonna see that.
And he can delay. That allows him to delay the decision. He can just say, well, Ryan's not ready to practice yet.
And I think there's...
And I don't think that's out of the question, by the way. I think there is a scenario where he's really not able to at least practice fully, right? There's no reason to put him out there on one leg, right? Like, and last year, they did have reason to want to put him out there on one leg because they didn't have an experienced backup of any kind. Now they're in a totally different position.
If they don't have to rush him back, why rush him back?
Exactly.
I'm sure he wants to rush back.
But rushing back angle, it's not going to, you know...
And they can't protect the quarterback.
Exactly. That's it's not going to do anything for him. Rush back to what? Get put back on the bench because of an injury? I mean, it's
a duck.
Yeah, it's to me, you know, I understand from a competitive standpoint, Ryan Tannehill wanting to get back in there and wanting to fight back, you know, fight for his job and prove to people that, you know, he still can play this position at a level, a winning level. But realistically, you know, again, you go back to just look at it for what it is. You are on a expiring contract. You're injured. Offensive line is not good. Why would you then want to subject yourself to more injuries going into the offseason? Because no matter what, you're going to be finding another place to play. And do you want to be rehabbing at the end of the year while trying to get another one of these 32 starting jobs? And there's only really maybe 10 of them out there, probably less than that. So do you want to go into the offseason rehabbing your way, you know, back into playing shape to hopefully get a starting job at maybe 10 teams? Or do you want to go into the offseason healthy, you know, being available if they need you, being a backup quarterback? You know, he has to look at it from that standpoint. He's not getting any younger.
Yeah. And I think so that's one of, you know, two of the scenarios that we could hear is, one, Ryan's still injured. Two, we're not ready to say anything yet. I think both of those are likely. Mm-hmm. Another scenario, and I will role play and I will play my best Vrabel impression. We have evaluated and we feel like Ryan gives us the best chance to win. We thank Will for everything that he has done, but Ryan will be our quarterback moving forward. What would your reaction to that be?
Damn! That's what my reaction would be. Channeling my inner Florida Evans. Okay, that's what it would be right there. So go ahead, Willie. That's what my reaction would be. I mean,
oh man. You know. But by the way, I love that show. That's a great show. Good Times is the best. I would be stunned. I just don't think that's going to happen. I'm going to put that at about 1% that happens. My eyeballs would get really big.
I didn't think
my jaw would drop.
I don't think it would happen either. But I also didn't think the Titans would fire John Robinson. So crazy things happen with this team NFL. The fourth scenario. Uh-huh. And I will dive back into my Mike Vrabel impression. Will be our starter moving forward. We believe that he gives this team the best chance to win, and Ryan will continue to rehab and get back to 100%. Your reaction?
I think that would be the smart choice. I know you got to throw in Ryan will continue to rehab and all this other stuff. Yeah, I know.
Malik is still working to get better. We're going to continue to develop, and we're going to do what is best for the football team to win games.
Exactly. So I can understand. And I can see him saying that. And basically what he's saying is Will is the future, and the future has started now. Mm-hmm. Ryan, we will use you if we need you. Meaning if this young guy goes down, you know, with, I don't know, a pinky toe, or if his shoe come unlaced and he can't get enough underneath center, then we'll bring you in. Anything outside of that, nah, you ain't getting this job. Mm-mm. It's not yours anymore. Give it back. Took it from him.
Mine now.
Yeah, it's mine. Give it back. We let you borrow it for 5 years, 4.5, whatever it was. But again, I think that would be the best choice for the franchise, the best choice for that locker room, mm-hmm. because it seems like they're, at least on offense, they're a little bit more spirited on offense because they feel now we have a healthy quarterback with a strong arm. We can do some things down the field that we possibly couldn't do with a hobbled Ryan Tannehill.
My reaction would be, good job, Mike. Good job. You made the right decision. Gold star for you. You did the right thing. Now, again, I don't know what we're going to hear from Mike Vrabel today. If I had to predict anything, if I had to look into my crystal ball, I would say he's going to give you as little information as possible. Mm-hmm. But I do think that not naming a quarterback is just as telling or maybe just as impactful as naming a quarterback this afternoon. So, again, we will hear from Mike Vrabel at 1 p.m. We will carry that live and in its entirety right here on 102.5 The Game. We'll also chat with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, in just over 15 minutes. But before we get into that, let's get into some Preds thoughts coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Blocker saved by Campbell. One-timer Carrier tipped wide by Nyquist. Back in front. Campbell covers it up.
In.
Puck still alive on the near left side.
It did everything but go in.
Puck was never frozen. In the front, O'Reilly for the hat trick. Ryan O'Reilly with the hat trick. 5-2 Preds. 11:26 left in the third.
Ryan O'Reilly with a hat trick and a 5-2 win over the Edmonton Oilers over the weekend. Now the Predators turn around and take on the Edmonton's divisional rival in Calgary tonight. Puck drop at 8 o'clock, and of course we'll have all of your pregame coverage starting at 7 o'clock right here on 102.5 The Game. But man, that's Pacific Division between Calgary, Edmonton, and San Jose. San Jose was still winless on the season. Brutal. But Willie, what are you looking for tonight?
Well, San Jose is in a category of their own right now, which is pretty stunning. Like it is not good at all for them.
They knew they weren't going to be good,
but they've been outscored by 43 goals already,
man,
in 11 games. I mean, they've given up 10 a couple of times. I mean, it's just there's not being competitive and tanking, and then there's really not being competitive.
Are they playing without a goalie?
They're playing with a goalie. You know, that is pretty crazy. But let's look at some of the other teams though that they've played on this road trip, because it's an interesting part of the story in the West right now. Mm-hmm. Vancouver continues to impress. They're 9-2-1. They've beaten the Predators twice. And before the season started, I would have said, okay, you know, Vancouver is a team that's kind of right with the Predators. A lot of question marks. Are they in the middle? Their best version could be something pretty good. Their worst version could be a lottery kind of pick, you know? And the Canucks have been getting off to bad starts the last couple of years, but they've got a new coach in Rick Tocchet who took over last year and did some quiet things, but some good things. And now they've won 4 in a row. They're 9-2-1, and they look great. They've got the best goal differential in the West. They've outscored teams by 30, and they crushed the Oilers, you want to talk about a train wreck right now based on expectation. Like, at least the Sharks knew they were going to be bad.
Right.
Edmonton all of a sudden is sitting there at 2-8-1 looking for answers, and they had a total meltdown last night. Leon Draisaitl got a misconduct in the third period, had to sit out for 10 minutes. Connor McDavid's playing injured. He went to the penalty box in the third period at a key time, and then their coach got thrown out of the game midway through the third period while their team was on the power play. So it was ugly. And now all of a sudden they've gone from being a favorite to win the Stanley Cup to, you know, just trying to keep the boat from sinking, and their coach is all of a sudden on the hot seat. That was unthinkable going in. And
there
then
really
you have
is
the
no
flame.
Excuse for Edmonton to be as bad as they have been through 11 games. Do we have Willie? Oh, no, he's frozen.
I think Willie is,
That old Calgary Wi-Fi.
Canadian
Wi-Fi.
It's a glitch, man, in the Matrix, so that's what Willie.
It is wild, though. Edmonton, you have two of the best players in the sport. You bought at the trade deadline last year, of course, the Predators sent Matthias Ekholm home to Edmonton. Mm-hmm. There's absolutely zero excuse for Edmonton to be struggling as much as they have. And it felt like a little bit of a moral victory for the Predators. Mm-hmm. And I don't like talking about moral victories because it sounds a little like losery to talk about moral victories, but it did feel like that win against Edmonton in regulation felt like a little weight off their shoulders. Like, finally Leon Draisaitl, the guy who has been had our number for so many years, we were finally able to take down.
Yeah, I think situations, you know, like that, you take a win how you get
all right,
a win.
Sorry about that.
Don't worry about it, Willie. We knew you were a glitch in the Matrix. Don't worry about that.
That old Calgary Wi-Fi.
You had to get charged up again.
Was I frozen with a really dumb look on my face, or did I look intelligent when I got frozen?
Your
like
tongue
you
was out.
You had a very astute observation incoming.
Okay.
Yeah.
it's stunning that Edmonton's where they are. And so the talk up here, you can imagine what that talk is like, especially in Edmonton, but really all across Canada. That's a major, major story. And then you have the Flames, who the Predators are playing tonight. They were really struggling until Saturday. They got a nice win in Seattle. So they're a team that's sort of at a crossroads because they've got a new coach. They've got a new GM. They've got some players that they have to make a decision on. So a lot of people are calling for, if not a full rebuild, a retool. So if they're going to be competitive this year, they've got to make up some ground in a hurry. So there's some urgency here in Calgary. So this is a good test for the Predators here, because this is not as intimidating a lineup as the Oilers. But, you know, the Predators are looking for that consistency to try to put together some victories to go with some of the good things that they've been doing, because their theme all too often has been, hey, played pretty well, outshot the opponent, got a lot of chances, but came.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
There he goes again.
Uh-huh. Didn't charge his phone. Didn't charge his self all the way up.
Tongue out and everything, man. I mean, you can't make it up.
Dang.
I wonder if, you know, once Willie, once the circle thing stopped going.
The rainbow wheel of death.
Once that stopped buffering for Willie, and maybe he can hear us. I wonder if he if this is something that he expected, like the Preds, 5-6, and I think they're
5-6-0.
Yeah, 5-6-0. If you just look across the board, you know, the point differential is 0. Mm-hmm. You know, the last ten games, they're 5-5. Mm-hmm. You know, they won one more game at home. They lost, I think, two more games on the road. Is this what, you know, people expected from this team? Like, just a average team, but an average team that can, you know, get better as the season go. That's the way I look at it, as a team that, you know, a lot of young guys, some veterans mixed in, new head coach, so it's going to take a minute for everybody to really get settled in to what they're doing. And right now they're essentially a 500 team. Mm-hmm. but a 500 team that I want to believe is getting better. But how long will it take them? Will it get better in time enough to make a push?
Yeah.
You know, at the end.
Then I don't know if we have Willie back or not, but I don't think that this would be a surprise if mm-hmm. the Predators continued along a trend of being a mucky middle team, which mm-hmm. is what the Predators kind of were last season. But it's a mucky middle that feels so much different than mm-hmm. it did last year, because it's promising and it's hope of some young guys versus let's try and squeeze as much as we possibly can out of this core that we've had since, you know, the 2017 Cup run for the most part.
Mm-hmm. I think that is that's going to be the theme of the season. And I think there's a sense that they can be pretty good. What is pretty good? I don't know. But I think there's a sense that they can be better in terms of results than they've been so far if they can get some gains from the young players. I think the guy that I'm really looking at tonight is Juuso Parsonen. Mm-hmm. I think if you take a look, Novak, Evangelista, and Kiefer Sherwood have been pretty good as the second line. They've shown some good signs of being able to tell everybody, hey, it wasn't a fluke what we did last year as a group. They've done a nice job picking up where they left off, I think. Parsons is the guy that's been very up and down. He's shown some signs of life these last couple of games. And to me, he's due for a big game. He's a critical guy. If they're going to get enough goals, right? I was on a show in Calgary this morning, and they were asking me, can this team score enough? Because if you look at their lineup, it doesn't just jump out at you a bunch of goal scorers, right? Mm-hmm. They've got to get it from people that haven't really done it before. And so Parsons is a big part of that equation. I like how Forsberg's game's coming along. I think Yossi's game's coming along. Those guys you should be able to rely on over 82 games. If they're in there, they should produce. I think it's been all thumbs up with his addition. So it's up to a lot of those young guys to sort of pull the rope and contribute. If that falls into place, you know, you just wonder, and I think that's what the fans' belief is. It'd be pretty exciting just to see what that looks like. What would that mean?
And quickly, Willie, before we get to Tim Hasselbeck and before you have to run with Preds duties tonight, of course, Preds in action tonight against Calgary, puck drop at 8 o'clock. Where's Tomasino? Like, is he slowly but surely becoming a guy, at least right now, that you can't count on, whether he's a healthy scratch or, you know, if he's on the ice, not getting a whole lot of production?
That it's a really good question. I think before the season started, we said that, look, they've got a lot of guys that are going to have a pathway to play. And Tomasino has not grabbed the reins, even though I think everybody to a man, including the coaches, thought he had a very good preseason, mm-hmm. played well in the preseason. But for whatever reason, he just hasn't clicked. He's been in and out of the lineup. They gave him a chance on Saturday. I thought he had some flashes, had some good plays. It doesn't look like he's going to be in there tonight based on what they did at practice. Now, over at Morning Skate, maybe it'll be a different story. But, yeah, he's a guy that has not blossomed, and they've got to figure out what to do with him because they've got other game. They've got, for example, Cody Glass probably coming back fairly soon. Do they send him down to Milwaukee to try to get his confidence up? That's a possibility. So it's a good question. I don't know the answer right now. It's hard to put your finger on why he has struggled like he has, but he has been very, very inconsistent so far, and he's sort of fallen down the ladder a bit, and he's going to have to earn his way back.
Willie D, have a good call tonight. We'll chat with you tomorrow.
All right, sorry for the freeze. Hopefully I won't freeze up in the booth tonight.
Absolutely, you won't do that. The matrix okay. Doesn't extend to the booth.
Yeah, we'll have somebody turn
exactly.
you off and back on.
We'll plug you in. Have somebody plug you in, get you fully okay. charged.
Sounds good.
And we'll chat with ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight for Vanderbilt men's basketball. A little bit of Memorial Magic back in action. The Commodores will start their season tonight at Memorial Gym and face off against Presbyterian. Tip-off is at 7 p.m. with the pregame beginning at 6:30 p.m. Coverage is also available on 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com.